This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is, you need to support the pastor of your church.
We've come to the last message in our series on fulfilling God's purpose in the church. And I have to tell you, this is kind of a hard one for me to preach. Because you know what I've got to do today? I've got to tell you how you as the church are supposed to bless me as the pastor. Now, do you know that's a hard message to preach? Let me tell you why. The devil has done a wonderful job of putting counterfeit pastors into churches. Counterfeit preachers. I think Priscilla sometimes calls them jackleg preachers. Amen. I don't know what a jackleg is, but but people who are more interested in getting for themselves than they are in ministering to the people of God. And I don't want to be classed with them. But let me tell you something. Can I share something with you? Becoming a pastor was not a career move for me. I did not become a pastor in order to increase my income. Now, you may not know this, but I quit a job to start this church. That job paid me extremely well. Amen? And I'm looking forward to the day when the church is going to be able to fully support Priscilla and me. I don't expect that it's going to be anytime soon that the church gets to the point where it can match what that job paid me. So it was not a career move for me to come start this church. You know why I came to start this church? I had a calling from God. I had a calling from God. You see, understand this. The church is not here for the sake of the pastor. The pastor is here for the sake of the church. But if the church is going to benefit, God says there's some things that the church needs to do toward the pastor. Go over to Numbers chapter 27. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 27, verses 16 and 17. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. That's God's purpose. That's why God put pastors into the church. He gave us shepherds in order that we might be guided and that we might be protected. Go over to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. This is Paul talking to the pastors. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, I want you to catch two words in here. It says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Number one, the word is Holy Spirit. Who is it that puts a pastor into the church? The Holy Spirit of God. That's the way it's supposed to work. Now understand this. Being a pastor is not a job. As far as the IRS is concerned, I work for Covenant Community Church. As far as God is concerned, I do not work for Covenant Community Church. You know who I work for? I work for God. Amen? Amen. I work for God. And you know what the upshot of that is? Praise God. If you work for somebody, you got to do what they tell you to do. Isn't that right? And so if a pastor works for his church, what does he have to do? He got to do what they tell him to do. But when a pastor understands he does not work for the church, he works for God. Amen. Guess what he says? Folks, I love you. And because I love you, sometimes I'm going to have to tell you what you don't want to hear. And that's all right. Amen. 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 See, that's what a pastor is supposed to be. A pastor is to lead the sheep, not be led by them. Wouldn't it be dumb for a shepherd calling himself a shepherd and he's running all over the place wherever the sheep want to go? No, it says God put pastors into the body to be overseers of the body. So, in other words, you need to have a pastor that you have confidence is hearing from God. Because what? He is charged with leading the sheep. Jesus says, I am the shepherd of the sheep, of the flock, of the church. And when he went back to heaven to sit down at the right hand of God, he did not give up his shepherdship. He is still the shepherd of the sheep. Amen? But physically, he is not on the scene. He is still here by the power of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is in this place today. Amen? Amen. But physically, he has gone back to heaven. So what did he do? He appointed under shepherds. Look at 1 Peter 5, verses 2 through 4. This is Peter, again, speaking to the elders, the pastors of the church. Shepherd or pastor the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. That's the major way a pastor leads, is by being the example to the flock. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Let me show you what my responsibility as a pastor is to you. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. You see, my role, my first responsibility toward you, the reason why I am placed in this place is to feed you with knowledge and understanding of what? Of the word and the will and the ways of God. So that's number one. Pastors after his heart who will teach you and train you in his word. That means in order for a pastor to be effective, he has to teach and train the people. Amen? Amen. Now what's the other side of that? The people have to allow themselves to be taught and trained. Praise God. Any of you ever on sports teams where you had to train? Where does the training take place? In practice. When it's hot. And you're tired, and you're doing stuff you don't want to do, but the coach makes you do it anyway. That's when the training takes place. And so, well, guess what a pastor's job sometimes is? You hot, you tired, and he comes and tells you to do something you don't want to do. Amen? But guess what? If it's to be effective, you have to allow yourself to be taught and allow yourself to be trained. Psalm 78, starting with verse 70. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. Here it is, verse 72. So he shepherded them, so he pastored them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Do you see what a pastor's role is, what his responsibility is? Number one, he's got to be a man of integrity. A man of integrity. Why? He can only pastor by the integrity of his heart. Not if he's doing it right. So those two things, integrity and skill, let me just make a commitment to you. As God gives me grace, I pledge to you to always be a pastor of integrity before you. You don't have to worry about me doing things that a pastor shouldn't do. Men, you don't have to worry about me around your wife. Amen? I got one. Amen. And one is about all I can handle. Amen. You don't have to worry about me doing things with the women of the church that shouldn't be done. Parents, and in this day and age it has to be said, you don't have to worry about me around your children. That's a pledge that I make, not just to you, but before God. I'm not going to mistreat your children in any way. So just understand that by the grace of God, my commitment and pledge to you is to always be before you as a man of integrity, and then a man who has prepared himself to be able to minister the word of God with skill. That's my responsibility toward you. But that's not really the message today. The message today is, what's your responsibility toward me? Amen? Go back to Hebrews 13:17. Let me tell you what your responsibility toward me is. My responsibility is, in some respects, to make your life harder. Because I got to tell you what you may not want to hear and ask you to do what you may not want to do. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Your responsibility to me, hallelujah, is to make my life as easy as possible. Praise God. Look at this again. Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so how? With joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Do you see it? This is God. He's saying, make the pastor's job oh so easy, he can do it with joy and not with grief. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Now catch it. Look at what he says about this. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. You see, my job as pastor is to bless you. But if the job gets so hard because of you that I can't do it, guess what? You miss the blessing. Amen? Do you know what the hardest job in the world is? It's not being president of the United States. It's not being an air traffic controller. You know what the hardest job in the United States is? In the world. Dealing with people. Amen? Dealing with people. And people are born in sin. You know what that means? You are born selfish. You are born self-centered. You are naturally stubborn, contrary, and rebellious. I shouldn't say you. We are naturally stubborn, contrary, and rebellious. Amen? That's the way we're born. But guess what? That does not make a pastor's job easy. Amen? So here's the bottom line on that. If you just be the natural you that you were born, you're going to make my life a mess. And God says you need to make the decision to change some of the things that you do, some of the things that you say, some of the ways you behave, in order that you not make the pastor's wife life, but wife too, be filled with grief, but with joy. Amen. I think that was the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the only way that you're going to be able to fulfill what it says in Hebrews 13:17. You've got to make a choice. I can't just be what I've always been. I can't just do what feels natural and comfortable for me to do. If I am going to fulfill God's command to make the pastor's life easier. Can we get down to some nitty gritty here? I sometimes ask you to do things you would not naturally do. How many people are naturally on time to every appointment? That's just the way you are. You're naturally on time. I'm seeing a few hands here. How many people are naturally late? Now, I got my hand up. Naturally late. Now, I come to you and I say, I want you to be at church by a certain time. I ask our members to be here no later than 9:45. And we talk about the reason for that. We are asking God to bless us by bringing in new people. Amen? You know what the most discouraging thing for somebody to walk in as a visitor to a church? To be the first one there. To not have anybody there from the congregation to greet them. You get the feeling that the people in that church don't really care. They're not really committed. And if you really come looking for God, looking to be developed in Him, you're looking for a place where the people are committed. Amen? And so I ask you to come at a certain time. Now, most of us, that's not natural. My natural thing is, if I'm supposed to be there at 10, I'll just about be leaving home at that time. So in order to be what God wants me to be, you know what I have to do? I have to come before God and say, God, this is different from me. This is not the way I am, but I yield it up to you. I'm not doing this to please Pastor Franklin. I'm not doing this because I got to do it. I'm doing this because I can see you placed him before me as the shepherd of the sheep. You told me to submit to what he says. And he says that for the good of the church, we need to be there at that time. Therefore, Lord, I'm asking you to help me to do it. I heard that week, amen. 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 Well, let's get down to some specifics here. How is it that you are supposed to support the pastor of the church? Number one, pray. Pray. Go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And Paul says, for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You need to pray for your pastor. You know who the biggest target in this church is? Go over to Matthew chapter 26. Look at verse 31. Matthew 26, 31. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. If you want to scatter the flock, what's the most direct way to do it? If you can strike down the shepherd. Amen? If you want to destroy the church, the easiest way to do it is to strike at the shepherd. Please pray for us. Amen? Please surround us with your prayers. So number one, the number one way that you support your pastor is pray. The number two way that you support your pastor is pay. Amen? Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verses 13 and 14. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should do what? Live from the gospel. That's God's order. That's the way God set this thing up to operate. It's not my idea. Amen? He said his command is that those who preach the gospel are supposed to live from the gospel. That's been from the beginning to the end, from the Old Testament through the New Testament. God has set it up that way. And so the church has a responsibility to support the financial needs of its pastor. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verses 4 through 11. Do we have no right to eat and drink? How many of you know pastors have to eat? Look at me. How many of you know pastors have to eat?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Paul says, don't we have a right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brother of the Lord and Cephas? Amen. So you not only support the pastor, but what? His wife. Verse 6, or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? So is the pastor supposed to have to go out and get a second job?
No.
Amen. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? Do you see how God has set this up? God says, I'm going to bless you spiritually through the pastor, and your responsibility is to bless the pastor materially so that he has what he needs to live. Amen? That's God's way. Go over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Here's the bottom line on the way God has set this thing up to operate. Galatians 6, 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. If you're being taught the word, if you're being blessed, it's your responsibility to take the initiative to take care of the one who is teaching you. Bottom line, God says that's the responsibility that the church has towards its pastor. So number one, pray. Number two,
pay.
Number three, obey. Go back and look at Hebrews 13:17 again. Obey those who rule over you. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Obey and be submissive. I'm not going to say a whole lot about this. I just want to make one commitment to you, and I've already said it. You can be sure that anything that I ask you to do, I ask you to do it ultimately for your good. That's a pledge I make to you. Amen. I mean, look at the verse again. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Why? For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. I've got to give an account to God for everything I ask you to do. I'm not going to play with that. I'm not going to do anything just for me. I'm not going to ask you to do anything just because, well, you know, it would be nice if somebody did that for me. No. Bottom line is, I am here to minister to you. You're not here for the purpose of ministering to me. But in order that I be able to minister to you, God says there's some things you need to do toward me. Amen?
Amen.
But the pledge that I give you is anything I ask you to do is because I, before God, believe it is for the good of the church and for your good as a member of the church. You can have that confidence. Number one is pray. Number two is?
Pray.
Number three is?
Obey.
Number four, the last one, say. Say. Honor and support your pastor by what you say. Look at Hebrews 13:17 again. Obey those who rule over you and be, how? Submissive. Have you ever asked somebody to do something and they went and did it? They did it. But they had such a bad attitude about it that you wish you never asked them in the first place. Ever happened to you?
Amen.
Amen. Uh-huh. The word says what? Be submissive. What does that mean? If you're going to do it with a good attitude. Amen?
Amen.
Do it with a good attitude. Submission comes from the heart. I told you the story about the little boy that was in the car with his mom. And she's driving along and trying to get him to sit down in the car seat. And he wanted to stand up. And he just, every time she'd tell him to sit down, he'd pop back up. Finally, she just set him down there, strapped him in. He looked up at her, stubborn look on his face, and said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Amen. Isn't that the way we are sometimes? We may do it, but we do it with an attitude. And the word says, you're supposed to make my job easy. Amen. And when you got an attitude, guess what? It makes it hard. Amen. Attitudes are hard. Praise God. And so the word says that with what we say, with the attitude that we have, that we ought to make it easy on the pastor. We ought to support the pastor. One final thing in terms of say. Go over to Romans 13:7. Romans 13:7. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Now you don't owe us any taxes. Nor customs. And please don't fear us. But guess what? There is an honor that's due to the man of God. Amen? Not for himself, but because he is God's representative. And I've shared this with you before. Even if you have to come to me and say, Pastor, I don't understand. Pastor, I don't agree. Come. I want to hear what you have to say. But maintain the honor. Amen? Maintain the honor. That's necessary. Because ultimately, it reflects through me, where? To God. Let me just say this. You cannot dishonor your pastor without dishonoring God. You understand? It ultimately is not about me, but it's about the one who put me here. And so say words of encouragement. Say words of honor. Not only when you're here, but like I shared last week, when I go to the barbershop and I hear somebody talking about Covenant Community Church because they heard it from one of our members, what do I want to hear? I want to hear the vision. I want to hear good things. Amen? Honor, honor, words of honor. Give honor to whom honor is due. You know what? It's easy to criticize, isn't it? Before you criticize, go back to where we started. What's number one? Pray. Amen? How many of you know that more pastors' hearts have been changed by prayer than all the criticism in the world? Amen? Pray. Here's the bottom line. It's my job to bless you. It's my job to teach you. It's my job to train you, to minister the word to you in such a way that you become the man, the woman of God that he intended for you to be. But in order for me to do that, God says, here's the role that you have to play in order to support the pastor of your church, to make his job not a job of grief, but of joy. Amen? And when you do that, he says, it will be profitable for you because you are the church.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.